Derek Taylor of TSN will become the new voice of the Riders on 620 CKRM, will call the games and host the Sports Cage. Now, how did that all come about? Let's find out from the man himself, the new voice of the Riders, Derek Taylor. DT, thanks for your time.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Now, first off, congrats on the new gig.
Thank you.
How did it all go down? Did the team reach out to you? Did Harvard reach out to you? Did you reach out to them?
I reached out to them. When I heard that Rod was resigning, he posted it on whichever it was, Twitter, Instagram. I thought, oh, okay. My wife has been living and working in Saskatchewan, so Saskatoon, for the last 2.5 years. And I thought, oh, this would be something to investigate because I love doing play-by-play. And Saskatchewan, she raves about Saskatchewan. She just went through, you know, a couple of months of the old healthcare system, and she thought, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. I was in, I was out, it was beautiful. So I thought I would investigate it. We got down the road a little bit, met with them, interview. They seemed to be interested in what I had. I was very interested in what they had, and eventually it all kind of came together a couple weeks ago.
Now, TSN is the epitome of sports in Canada right now. How hard is it to leave TSN to come to Regina, of all places?
Well, leaving TSN in and of itself, like, this was the place when I was 14 years old. I went, oh, you know what I want to do for a living? I want to anchor Sports Desk, because it was Sports Desk at the time, and Michael Landsberg and Brendan Connor were killing it on there. And I thought, man, I can't play sports for a living because, well, I move like this. But I could, you know, I could talk about it. I think this would be great. So to give up what was essentially been your dream job for a couple of decades it's hard. And then the people there have been so fantastic for going on 5 years, from the football side to the soccer side to, of course, the Sports Center crew that I work with has been fantastic. So that part's very hard. But I mean, if you're going to leave your dream job, a job of this level of prestige and esteem, and honestly, I think this job is going to be a ton of fun. I can't picture many jobs I would have left TSN for, but this is certainly is one of them.
So now that, as you're preparing to leave TSN, looking back, what's your favorite moment during your entire time there?
It's one I actually kind of got in trouble for. Is that okay? Are you okay with that one?
Oh yeah.
So I was doing this. I was doing SportsCenter with Glenn Sheeler, and this was one of my favorite lines ever. We were promoting it was a playoff match into the winner would get into the Champions League group stage, and it was a club from Switzerland, Young Boys Bern, versus Manchester City. And as I knew this promo was coming up, we were in a sound piece. I knew this promo was coming up. I'm like, hey Glenn, just stick with me on this one, and you know. The time ticks down. They go, cue, Derek. All right, coming up on the network on Tuesday, Glenn likes Young Boys versus Manchester City. Yes, it's Champions League. And he turns to me and goes, that's awful. Yeah, you intimate your coworker likes that kind of stuff. It's going to be a good gag. Immediately, someone from upstairs emails me like, hey, we heard what you said. Don't ever do it again. I'm like, all right, I understand.
Oh, no.
I understand. So, that was being able to get off one of those one-liners that just, you know, just the pause I was extra proud of, just how I think it sold the gag. So, and Glenn was cool with it. Glenn's such a great dude. I knew he'd be fine. That was probably my proudest moment. But if you want other ones, I mean, calling a preseason CFL game, I mean, I just about flipped out before it with my nerves, how they were all jacked up. Hosting panels, like I got to host the panel for a Maple Leafs game one night with Bob McKenzie and a couple of the other, Dave Poole and guys, and like to sit up there with those guys in that atmosphere, super intimidating, but I got through it without making a complete jerk out of myself. So a couple of the moments that I've been super proud of.
Now, nothing bad ever comes from the phrase, just go with me on this one. That's always a good thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Glenn likes Young Boys versus Manchester City. In my heart forever.
Speaking of TSN, are we going to still get the details of the CFL that you've become really known for in the CFL family? Or is it just going to be more Riders related?
A lot of people have asked me that. And a lot of the guys, like some of the panelists and our CFL people, have said, hey, are you going to keep doing the details? And honestly, when you see the benefits of it for how it's kind of changed the way I look at football, I'm going to keep going with the collecting of all the data and stats and things like that, because one, they'll pay off on the Sports Cage. Two, they'll definitely pay off in the broadcast when you can talk about, you know, as you watch Jonathan Jennings go to Ottawa and go, hey, here's a guy who we thought liked to throw deep, but is now going to what was a short passing offense. And in fact, his short and intermediate passing numbers are better than Trevor Harris's. So this might be an interesting fit. Things like that and stuff you can, the stories that you can tell with them, I'll definitely want to keep going with them. I sure hope I would get to keep doing it for TSN because that's just a lot of fun. That's a chance to work with talented people. Neil, the guy who produces the segment, and the editors that he works with have been fantastic on it. So I really hope I do, but it'll stay alive in some fashion, and then how it gets, if it gets put out, even if it's not on TSN, I think people will you know, get a sense of what I'm able to do because, yeah, I mean, you're right. It's kind of made me unique within CFL circles and, you know, a lot of players reaching out to me going, hey, what are my numbers on this? What do you think about this? It's gotten me attention. And, yeah, honestly, I'm a numbers guy, so it's been a ton of fun despite all of the hours it takes.
So going into this new gig, what part are you looking forward to the most?
Oh, calling the games for sure. Like being at the stadium, it's all happening live. Even preseason, when the first preseason game, they go to Calgary, they'll have, you know, two dozen guys that are virtually no chance to make the roster, but to be out there and watch them smacking into each other and you know, just experiencing the live action and working with the crowd and feeling out the crowd and just enjoying the game, seeing things develop as they happen or as they're about to happen. I just love the energy of calling live sports. So, you know, the 20-plus times I get to do that this season, I'm going to cherish every one of them because that is so much fun.
Have you had a chance to talk to your partner in crime, Luke Melinder, yet?
Not yet. He DM'd me or he texted me and we went back and forth a little bit, but I haven't been able to chat with him yet. I'm hoping to shortly after I get to Regina in a couple of weeks because that's going to be critical, right? The relationship between the play-by-play guy and the color guy and how we're both going to make each other look good and, you know, where we're going to be a little extra entertaining when necessary and how to get... Sometimes it ends up being, how do you get out of each other's way? How do you know when to stop talking? And how do you learn the other person's pauses? Oh, that's his pause, but he's got something else to say. Okay, that's his pause of how he's done. There's little tricks in there that you learn when you work with different partners. So when we get those down, we have a couple of preseason games to get them down before the season begins. I'm excited to get to know Luke better and to see what he's all about because he brings obviously a wealth of playing experience to this job.
Now, looking at the SportsCage show itself, what are you going to bring to that show that fans can look forward to?
That's a good question because I've been listening obviously more and more as the weeks have gone on, as this process has gone along. Obviously, I mean, the Riders are going to be front and center, number one. I want to see if we can expand out, and it won't necessarily be my biggest priority, but I want to see what we can expand out and, you know, reach out a little more to amateur sports in and around the province. I have a couple of thoughts in that vein, how we can perhaps incorporate more the Prairie Thunder and the Rams maybe into our coverage of the Riders, and, you know, game previews with things like that. And, yeah, honestly, it's going to be... I don't know how different it will be from what Rod did. You'll probably hear different voices. There's people that I think that I've met in my time that I think, wow, this person needs some more exposure because I really think they're smart and I think they have a really good take on what's happening. So maybe the biggest thing as I think through it would be maybe we'll get some different voices in there, and I think people are going to like them.
So you mentioned that you're going to be coming here to Regina a couple weeks. When are you going to be taking over the show?
That is still to be determined. We're still trying to figure out exactly, because I have to, with my wife in Saskatoon, I get to pack up this whole house and two dogs and figure out how we're going to get them to Regina. So that'll be interesting. It takes forever to put stuff in boxes. I spent 3 hours today putting stuff in boxes and thinking, is this the right box? Could I put this in a different box? Is this going to break? If it breaks, I'm going to feel awful. So when I'm done with the mental anguish of all that, it'll be within... Gosh, it'll be within 3 or 4 weeks. It can't be too long, right? Because the season is right around the corner and training camp is coming. Should there be a season if all the negotiations go well? So hopefully it won't be too terribly long. We're not quite settled on what the day is, though.
And you mentioned packing up and moving, especially your wife in Saskatoon. How was it easy for you to go to her and be like, "Hey, I'm gonna take this job in Regina. Wanna move with me?" Or like was it a tough negotiation to get her to Regina?
No, not at all. Like, she was the one who first spotted that Rod's announcement that he was resigning, and she said, "Hey, what's happening here?" She knows that I've wanted to do play-by-play for some time, and I got a little taste of it in 2017, and that's kind of the way I wanted my career to go. And I thought, oh, okay, yeah, let's look at this. So we've talked about it a ton as it went along, because it is a huge decision, right? Like we talked about earlier, leaving your dream job is a huge decision. So, you know, will she like Regina? Well, she loves Saskatchewan, and no reason to think she wouldn't love Regina when she eventually makes her way down there as work allows. So no, it wasn't, from her perspective, it wasn't tough at all. And for me, it gets less tough when you think, oh yeah, after essentially 4.5 years apart, I get to live with my wife again, and she gets to see our two dogs again. Oh yeah, this is going to be pretty good.
Now, you mentioned, of course, Roddy, who's been the voice of the Riders forever. An entire generation, essentially, of Rider fan grew up on him. Do you feel any pressure behind that, or this is going to be your own show and just go with it and have fun?
Oh, I think it's impossible not to feel pressure coming behind someone like Rod. There was a guy on Twitter who said, you know, you're the first guy my mom brought home after she left my dad. And I'm like, drawing the parallel between, you know, stepdads and me filling Rod's shoes. And you're like, yeah, you get that. Because, I mean, I had that with Peter Marr as a Calgary Flames broadcaster back when I was growing up. I'm not sure if Peter still does the games in Calgary, but no, this was the 1980s. And as much as I was an Oilers fan, I would listen to those Flames broadcasts and, oh, this is my voice. Or Ed Whalen, who did Stampede Wrestling. I'll never forget Ed Whalen. So whoever comes next is just not going to be the guy before him. I think Rod and I stylistically will be different. I hope to be someday as good as he was, because people who have heard him a lot more tell me, you know, he was really great at capturing the emotion and what was happening on the field. So I certainly hope to be as good. And absolutely there's pressure. It'd be silly to think there's not, when you're taking over, you know, you're fresh to the job and essentially fresh to the province, and you're taking over from a guy who is a Saskatchewan institution.
Now, I have to say, you should have seen my co-host here's face light up when you mentioned Stampede Wrestling.
So it's going to be a ring-a-ding-dong dandy.
Ed Whalen and Jim Davies and the Cuban Assassin and Muckham Singh and Gamma Singh and all the – you saw all the hearts when they were super skinny, and then they went, oh, okay, they went to WWE and they all put on a ton of weight. How'd that happen? Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, Stampede Wrestling was – remember how bad Bad News Allen was? That dude was bad.
You don't mess with Bad News Allen.
He was amazing. Why are you letting him use a fork on Bret Hart? What are you doing? This is so wrong. Oh, right. Okay, wrestling. I didn't quite know about wrestling at that point, but man, was it entertaining.
So if we ever start a wrestling podcast, we know who to go to first.
Oh, if you want to talk to the 1980s, I've lost touch with wrestling, though having watched the Kenny Omega Engraved on a Nation last week, that may bring me back, because that was phenomenal. And that dude, man, that dude is so very good at expressing all the range of emotions. If you guys haven't seen it, absolutely watch it as fast as you can, because he has an amazing story to tell.
Now, last word to you. You've got an open mic to Rider Nation. Anything you want to say to people who might not really know who Derek Taylor is yet?
Well, I am an enormous fan of the CFL. That's ever, I mean, wow. I paid money to try and see Rocket Ismail when he played the Calgary Stampeders back in the day, and then I think he jumped on Dave Sapunjis' head and got kicked out of the game, and I thought, I don't have a ton of money, and now you're like thrown out of the game. What are we doing here? So I'm a huge fan of the CFL. My mom was a Riders fan. She's from Rokenville, Saskatchewan. My wife, when we moved from Winnipeg, she was able to finally come out of the closet and tell everybody she's a Riders fan. So as much as I didn't grow up with the Riders, there are Riders right now that I absolutely love. And the more I get to know them, and the more I get to be around this team, and the more I get to be around the people of Saskatchewan, I'm going to become a Riders fan, that's for sure. So, yeah, Rod was there for 20 years, and you love Rod, and we can all still love Rod, but I just need a chance, because I think my passion for the CFL is going to match what you deserve in a play-by-play broadcaster and a host of the sports cage. So, come on over when I get onto the radio and see what I have to offer, and hopefully you like it.
Well, Derek, we're looking forward to seeing what you bring to us and being the new voice of the Riders. Congrats again, and thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.